broadcasting 24/7, 365. You're listening to 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca, Kingston's only campus community radio station. Tune in for the best local programming.
Thank you. Hello, folks, and welcome to your Indie Wake-Up Call right here on CFRC 101.9 FM. I'm Dean.
I'm Megan. It's Tuesday.
There's a saw going on in the background. I don't know if you can hear that. I apologize.
Our neighbor is cutting down a tree.
So. Yeah, which is very cool of them.
We're very excited to be here with you this week.
Yeah, we've got a whole boatload of great new Canadian indie tracks, and also indie tracks from other countries.
Wow.
We just heard the Golden Age of Wrestling. That's a Vancouver band. Their new track is Stanley Park Ravers.
Nice.
Lots of beeps and boops in that one.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
There's the only way I can describe anything, even like gesturing towards electronic music, is beeps and boops.
Yes. Well, that's what it is.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. They use a computer. They make it make sounds.
Yeah.
Sometimes they use instruments also. They probably actually mostly use instruments. I guess you, like, plug keyboard into your computer.
If you're plugging it into a computer, you've turned the keyboard into a computer, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, okay. Only an acoustic guitar is an instrument, and everything else is not an instrument.
That is exactly correct.
Good to know. Is the human voice an instrument if it sings into a microphone?
Is the microphone connected to a computer?
I'm assuming so.
Bad news then. Sorry.
What if it's just plugged into a speaker?
Practically a cyborg.
But there's like no computer in the middle.
If there's not a transistor, I'm fine. That's okay.
Okay. Glad we got to the bottom of this.
Yeah, we figured that out. Folks, football.
Oh.
The Buffalo Bills have won another game, trouncing the Jets.
Wow.
The brave and heroic Josh Allen broke his nose, or at least like bloodied his nose up really bad, when a Jets defender's hand went through his visor.
Oh.
But he sat out for like four plays. Plugged it up with cotton, got right back out there.
That's right. Go Josh Allen. Except, actually, I don't like this part of football. I think everyone should take care of themselves and be healthy. But, you know, he cares about his team. He's
vibing. That's right.
Speaking of Bills, there's going to be a new holiday Hallmark movie about the Buffalo Bills.
What?
It's called Holiday Touchdown.
Oh, my God.
Bills love story.
Dude.
So.
That sounds awesome.
Get ready for this. My friend sent it to me, and I was like, Dean has to be included in this watch party. Like, I'm so excited to hear what you have to say about Holiday Touchdown. I don't know when it comes out, but keep it tuned to the Hallmark channel for the new Bills movie. So.
Also, there was discussion online about, like, if this new... The Bills are building a... Well, I say the Bills. The state of New York is building a new stadium for the Bills.
Yeah.
And they cut their healthcare budget by exactly the amount that the stadium costs, which was cool.
Oh, my gosh.
But the stadium is nearly built. They're going to start playing in it next year. It doesn't have a dome, thankfully. But people were talking, like, oh, with this new stadium, if it's domed, like, will the Buffalo host a Super Bowl one day?
I thought it was domed. I thought they were saying they get to play inside sometimes. Am I crazy?
In my brain, I thought it wasn't going to be domed, which I hope not, because the whole point about Buffalo football is it's supposed to be snowy and terrible.
Wow.
It is actually impossible for Buffalo to host a Super Bowl, not just because of this dome situation, but because Buffalo has 4,500 hotel rooms.
Wow.
Which is like nothing. Like, even like Cleveland has like 45,000. Like, and you have half
a... It
will not be domed. That's right.
Wow.
But yeah, you need like 500,000 hotel rooms to host a Super Bowl. So it's just, it can't be done in upstate New York, unfortunately.
Wow. Yeah. Well.
And also playing football in February. Like, just, I appreciate it, but no one would be having a pleasant time.
Yeah.
No one in the stands.
No, that doesn't sound fun. Well, the new stadium looks nice, even though it's not got a dome on it. But anyway.
Yeah. And then finally, one little bit of football news. The Chiefs lost another game. They're 0-2. You love to see that.
Oh, get owned.
Folks, up next, we have new Great Lakes Swimmers, Youth Not Wasted. Here we go.
Photo of us from back in the day. children on their way. Considered and caught in for living color. Proof that we were here. Proof that we were real. Youth not wasted. Youth not wasted on the young. Youth not wasted. Never wasted. Books on the shelf left unread. Never enough time to reach for them all. Stories and rhymes, and we will stay strangers. Pages of things that I had.
Yeah.
the brakes. And ain't it always the way that takes you back to from where it is you came? Rob, he likes his country tint. It's never been the lens that I see through. But I guess driving for a week or two puts words in your mouth. So find Dodge and then get out of it. It's about as country as I get. The brain.
Hello, folks, and welcome back to your saw-filled indie wake-up call right here on CFRC 101.9 FM. I apologize about the background noise there. Our neighbors, it'd be one thing if the neighbor was cutting down a tree himself, but he's hired some company to do it because no one in this neighborhood actually does anything for themselves.
Oh, yeah. Everyone should be an amateur arborist. That sounds really safe and good for the city.
Bootstraps.
You know, it's you got to tie yourself to it somehow. You got to get a chainsaw, like, and then other than that, I feel like it's easy. Figure it out, you know?
Yeah. Anyway, folks, we just heard Hush by Rachel Bobbitt. Before that, we heard Road Regrets by Dan Mangan. And right at the top, we heard Great Lake Swimmers with their new track, Youth Not Wasted. Very pretty song.
Songs. Okay, it was Terry Fox Run Day thing this weekend. I hope you all ran into Terry Fox Day Run. I can't say I did, but I did a lot of Terry Fox activities at the library. So I did my part. So get on it, everybody. Next year, put in your calendar, run in the Terry Fox Run if you didn't this year. But I did my first ever story time, and I just need to talk about how actually hard reading children's books to children is. I want to just shout out every elementary school teacher and librarian in the whole world, because people might think, oh, you pick a book, you read it. But no, like, picking the book is a journey. Like, how old are they? What's their, you know, reading comprehension? How long can they, like, do their attention span? Like, how many words per page? You have to pick something with, like, engaging pictures. You have to be able to, like, hold it to the side so they can see it and you can see it at the same time. Then, when you're actually reading it, you have to do voices. You have to do, like, certain intonations. You have to figure out how much you should pause and go off script to ask them, like, questions about the pictures or about themselves. And then it's like, should I slow down the story this much to ask them this many questions? Anyway, it's actually extremely difficult.
Yeah.
So this is a skill, guys.
Yeah,
this is a real skill. And I think I did okay for my first time. You know, I'm not going to say I did incredibly, but I think I held my own. But I'm just realizing how far I have to go.
Yeah.
Like, this is...
Do you have any tips for any would-be children's storybook readers?
No, this is the thing, because, like, the difference between obviously picking a book for, like, a one-year-old versus a five-year-old, it's, like, two different skill sets. Like, I don't even know. So I don't know anything about what you're trying to do.
A one-year-old, you can read them anything. They don't know. You can read them Moby Dick.
Well, you need things with musicality, I'm assuming, and, like, lots of noise.
Yeah.
You know?
From Hell's Heart, I Stab at Thee. They love that.
Yeah, they would love Moby Dick. You know what? Just read Moby Dick. That's
just read a Moby Dick. Get them introduced to, like, you know, these homosexual themes early. Tell them it's okay to get in a bed with a strange man named Queequeg.
Okay. Yeah. To bring this back to Terry Fox, actually.
Yes.
It was a Terry Fox story time. So that's why, this is my first one.
Fox, Ahab, both lost a leg.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know that. You're spoiling Moby Dick for me. Hello.
That's, like, the first thing you learn about Ahab.
Okay. Well, I didn't know anything about him until this point. So thanks. But Terry Fox, cool guy. I feel like that's just, like, one guy that everyone's like, that's a cool guy. Like, we all love Terry
He's
Fox.
He's in, like, the Dolly Parton realm of just, like, everyone adores him.
Unproblematic king, you know? Like, and, you know, he believed in things.
Must be nice.
He's a good person. And I hope that all the little children liked learning about him. So that's fun.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, Terry Fox.
Up next, folks, we have Gorillaz with The Happy Dictator. This is the first single from their new record coming out. Sparks is also on the track. And it's about that Cheeto in the White House, I think. Here we go.
Thank you. live the same dream. Wake up and expect you next to me. Interpret that, what do you think it means? Quand ton cœur brise, c'est ce qui arrive. One thing gives me some relief. I just got out by the skin of my teeth. Hey, my man, it's been a while. What's new with you? I got time for a story or two. Don't be shy, we brothers to life. Morning light, not a wink of sleep. Talked all night, I needed your advice. One gripe, you don't tell me what I wanna hear. You keep it real. Same mood. Need something to make my head smooth. Need a sign of just stay on the move. Get up while the sun is still out. 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 When she asks me if I got a plan, I think I do. Make money and take care of you. Wear my heart on my sleeve and be true.
folks, and welcome back to your Indie Wake Up Call right here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We just heard Blood on Our Hands from Death from Above 1979. Before that, we heard Yves Jarvis with One Gripe. That's the second track, I believe, on his brand spanker album All Cylinders. He also did a cool Audio Tree live version. It's a lot more stripped down for a lot of those songs on the new record, so check that out too if you haven't. And at the top, we heard New Gorillaz, the first single from their new album. It's called The Happy Dictator.
Nice. Okay, we went to more TIFF movies.
Yes,
it's
we
TIFF.
Did.
We love
TIFF.
Well,
it's not TIFF anymore, but it was TIFF.
It was TIFF. It just ended on Sunday.
TIFFy.
Yeah. TIFF was so fun.
It was a lot of fun.
I've never been before. I am obsessed. I want to go every year. Like, you get to see the celebrities. They come out and they talk about the movie. That's so cool. You know?
And they attempt to say interesting things.
Yeah, and sometimes they do.
Sometimes they do.
Unfortunately, one of the movies we saw, we're going to talk about The Wizard of the Kremlin.
Yes.
Not that good.
Not good, folks. Yeah. It's going to be on Disney Plus streaming.
It was okay, but it wasn't like, yeah.
Yeah, it's very MSNBC. To paint the picture, it's like the story of Putin's rise after the fall of communism, and it follows Putin's like top advisor's career.
Who I think is a fictional character.
It is a fictionalized version of a person that did exist.
Or I thought it was a fictionalized, like, he like mashed a bunch of people together
to make
this guy.
But yeah, he was like essentially like Putin's media guy PR guy. And it's not very good. The first third I kind of liked because it was like Social Network, but set in Moscow.
Yeah.
Do you know what's cooler than a million rubles? A billion rubles.
Yeah.
They may as well have said that.
It was fun. And it's all about like all these like newly minted like millionaires that are coming out of Moscow.
The people who just were like rapaciously gutted the state corporations of the USSR for their own benefit.
Yeah.
And like the actual horrors of like the fall of communism are not addressed at all. Like they just reference vaguely
that
people are poor.
Yeah.
Not the fact that like the life expectancy dropped precipitously after communism fell, not the fact that the CIA was heavily involved in Putin's appointment to leadership in Russia. And Paul Dano's
Paul Dano
in it.
He does a good job.
He does a good job. Jeffrey Wright has this totally thankless role as like the guy who gets the story told to him.
Yeah.
Which like totally underutilized here.
Jude Law plays Putin. I think he did a good job.
Yeah, I think he's going to get a supporting actor nom.
I think so too, yeah.
He was pretty good.
But overall, it was just very long and not interesting enough to be as long as it was.
Yeah.
It was really dragging.
It's a lot of dialogue where people are just like skimming through Wikipedia articles.
Oh my God, I know. And it's a narration story because it's supposed to be like Paul Dano is an older man telling this story to Jeffrey Wright.
He's like an American reporter.
And it's like literally the entire time there's narration happening.
Yeah.
And like you'll
and not fun Goodfellas narration.
And you'll like see characters like act out a scene and then they'll just like tell you what just happened in the scene again. And you're like, okay.
Because it's made for you to like scroll your phone while you're watching it on Disney Plus. Same with all like it's a long movie filled with these title cards that like break it up into like digestible episode length chunks.
Yeah.
It's pretty egregious.
Yeah. I was not a fan, but you know what? It wasn't the worst movie ever. It just like when they were like, vote for this in the People's Choice Awards if you want. I was like, I don't think anyone is going to do that. I didn't really hear much positive feedback. I feel like coming up. Mostly everyone was just like, okay.
Yeah.
But it's always funny to see like the business people at TIFF and they're kind of like, you know, I don't know if they're trying to like figure out if they want to like distribute it or they are the producers of the movie trying to like hear the audience feedback. I can never tell what everyone's like role is, but
Yeah. Well, that one definitely already has distribution set up, but who's to say about these insiders, Secret Squirrel stuff.
Anywho. Oh, and then there was like a Q&A with the director and Paul Dano said the script was very clear.
Yes, which was liked. A diplomatic way of saying
we're
bad.
Like, it was very clear. Yeah. You're right. It did not leave a lot of room for confusion, feel like.
And the director, like, seemed completely insipid and, like, had no idea what he was talking about. Like, he was asked, like, one question about, like, you know, how this relates to, you know, politics today. And he was like, yeah, I think it's really important because, like, you know, recent history affects current politics. And I was like, wow, dude, who taught you that? That's crazy. But yeah, anyway, see that movie.
Yeah.
Instead, listen to the new Last Dinner Party. This is their second single coming out. It's called The Scythe. Here we go. The Scythe? Who's to say?
Oh,
Hello, folks, and welcome back to your Indie Wake-Up Call right here on CFRC 101.9 FM.
We do Tifty Part 2. Oh,
but wait. Before that...
songs.
What did we just hear?
We just heard Wreck by Nico Case. Before that, Death by Fire by Land of Talk. And at the top, The Scythe by The Last Dinner Party.
Which is brand new.
Woo! Okay, we won't talk about Tiff forever because, you know, it's over now, so there's no more
But
movies.
We did see one more film, Easy's Waltz.
Yes. Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn.
Plays a guy named Easy, who is a Vegas crooner.
Yeah, he's sort of washed up, but he's given one last chance at stardom by Al Pacino, who's in a lot of this movie.
I know, he's like a main character.
Yeah, it was awesome. I figured he was just going to have like one little scene like he does in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood or something.
No, but he's like...
No, he's in the picture.
Yeah, for like the whole time.
Yeah.
I also thought it was okay. Dean liked it.
I liked it. I liked it more than you, but it definitely...
It was a little boring for me.
The stakes aren't... Like, the stakes are, like, made very clear. Al Pacino has numerous scenes where he's like, I'm a tough Vegas guy, so you better not mess with me, because I'm tough.
Mm.
But then he doesn't really demonstrate this toughness very effectively.
Mm. It's the guy that does True Detective.
Yeah, Nick Pizzolatto. I might be mispronouncing that. And it doesn't really, like, the script is pretty good, but it doesn't have that Nick Pizzolatto, like, crazy monologues. Like Vince Vaughn's excellent Am I Diminished speech in True Detective Season 2.
Mm. I do think this was the best Vince Vaughn acting I've ever seen, though.
Yeah,
because
he's
pretty good in this. Because I didn't think he did that great in True Detective, so this was
disagree.
Like... Okay, well, agree to disagree. But this was like, I don't know, I've never seen him in a role like this. I just thought he did a really great job. I really thought all the acting was really good. Obviously, Al Pacino is like amazing, so that's a given.
It's pretty gorgeously shot. There's a lot of cool Vegas nightlife shots.
Yeah. I just didn't think the story really gripped me that much, I feel like. But
yeah.
I would say it's definitely way more worth seeing than Wizard of the Kremlin, but
for sure.
Still, I'm not like, oh my god, run to the theater.
And
like,
Vince Vaughn sings; it's like a musical.
I know, he like fully sings.
Yeah, he's like, and he's given it, and he's singing like all of the like huge pop songs. He's doing Whitney Houston.
Yeah,
he's doing Steely Dan.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's like, it's almost funny, but he's like, it's like, the problem with the movie is that everyone keeps saying how great a singer he is.
Yeah.
And he's not.
He's not
great.
That good.
He's
good. Yeah.
He's like serviceable, but he's not like...
It's the kind of singing where it's literally just Vince Vaughn singing, and you're like, oh, I guess Vince Vaughn can sing.
Yeah.
That's cool. And in the movie, they're like, this is the greatest singer we've ever heard in our lives. And it's like, I was telling Dean, but it's like, you know, in a movie where they're like, this man is so hot, but they like couldn't actually get an actor that's that hot, so you just like have to suspend your disbelief, and you're like, sure,
you're like,
okay.
Michael Cera? Okay.
Yeah. But
the highlight of the film for me wasn't actually anything in the film, but it was the audience's reaction to Vince Vaughn. This happens early, but he punches out some like actually popular pop singer who calls him a boomer. And then he says, I'm Gen X, B word. He doesn't say B word.
He says the R word.
Sorry, I forgot. Yeah. I'm misremembering. So he punches out this kid who calls him a boomer and says he's Gen X.
And then R slur. And the whole audience is like,
they erupted. Yeah! They were like, okay. They were like, I feel seen.
Everyone there was
All
Gen
I want to do is call kids the R word.
Yeah.
It made me laugh.
But I actually do think we were the youngest people there. I feel like
easily.
Literally everyone else was Gen X.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, there's
because
no,
it's all good guys like
who love
Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
And you know what? Count me among them.
Okay, yeah. But then Vince Vaughn and the director and another actor came out and did the Q&A, and I thought that was very fun. Vince Vaughn is funny. He talked a lot about generational stuff. He's like, I'm like, you know, I'm a millennial at heart. And I was okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I guess it's because he believes that, you know, you shouldn't be hitting your kids, essentially.
Yeah, he's like,
people should be nice.
It's nice to be nice.
And that's, you know, what
the soft millennials
do.
It was like, okay. But the director was very funny. Someone was like, oh, like, how'd you get Shania Twain in this movie? Like, how was it like?